Hi, I'm Piper.
And I'm Erin.
Welcome to Off the Tracks podcast, where we explore what it means to do law differently. Today's episode is in partnership with Lawyers in House. Lawyers in House is comprised of a team of experienced former in-house counsel who are ready to hit the ground running to deliver world-class legal support that takes work off your plate and makes life easier along the way. Whether you're a solopreneur or a Fortune 500 company or fall anywhere in between, Lawyers in House will meet and exceed your business's needs.
Today, we are joined by Vivian Entry. Vivian is an in-house lawyer, part-time cake artist, runner, and avid reader. She completed the dual JD program at the University of Windsor and the University of Detroit Mercy School of Law. She began her career in private practice at a large Bay Street firm and currently works as in-house counsel at Moneris. She loves Afrobeats, gospel music, TV, and movies.
So Vivian, we are so excited to welcome you to Off the Tracks today. Erin and I are always so excited when we record an episode, but we're extra excited when we get to record with a Windsor Law alum. And we were just talking before we hit record. We don't think we ever really crossed paths at Windsor Law. I think, you know, Erin and I were in 1L and you were in 3L. And I think maybe we got to see you like sit on a panel and then just like watch in awe kind of thing. But it's so nice to finally properly meet you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I'm really happy to be here. Your names do look familiar. By 3L, you're kind of like halfway out the door. You're prepping for bar exams and whatnot. And I know in 1L, your head is like in a book. So if you were able to come up for air, we probably crossed paths in the hallway. Yeah.
And I don't know Vivian well at all, or really claim to know Vivian outside of witnessing her as a 3L and seeing her on the internet. But if I can go out on a limb and say there, if there's one thing I know to be true about Vivian is that she's very humble. And I remember her being like this very accomplished 3L. And I just remember like seeing her in this panel one time and being like, oh, like, wow, she's really got her stuff together. Like she really knows what she's doing. And I mean, now I'm a bit more of an adult and I know that nobody knows what they're doing, but you definitely gave off like a really good illusion at the time, at the very least. So Vivian, we would love to know, you know, we know you've had so many wonderful highs throughout your career. We'd love to know a bit about how your career has evolved over time.
Sure thing. First, I will say, I think we're all actors. some of us just do a better job of it than others, at least at certain points. So, but in terms of career evolution, I'll take it back to what I thought I was going to do before what I'm currently doing. Really up until first year of university, I thought I was going to be a doctor. I studied science. I was always very good at science, mostly because it was the opportunity to ask questions. You got to be curious, you were encouraged to be curious and to ask questions and to think through things creatively. And there was also a set of rules, right? Science, especially experiments, you have room for creativity, room for flexibility, but there are certain rules and principles within scientific theory that everybody knows to be true, and they've sort of withstood the test of time for the most part, or they've been disproven. And so as you can already tell, there's some similarities with what we do as lawyers and with the study of the law. But law was never something that was on my mind. I don't have any lawyers in my family. So that's not something that I really knew anything about. So I studied science all the way through high school. Undergrad, I chose to study earth and environmental science more specifically because I wanted to work in environmental health. So finding the links between how the climate, how the environment around us, from, you know, the weather systems down to water quality, soil quality, impact our health, and looking at those links. So again, opportunities to ask lots of questions and to find solutions to problems, just to problems that impact everything that we do. But after my first year of undergrad, I decided this is not for me. This is not what I'm supposed to be doing. Still loved the pursuit of science and the study of it, but the concept of going to medical school is not something that really fit with my personality and sort of what my interests were at And, you know, thinking retrospectively, without knowing how I would have identified it, I was thinking more big picture in terms of the values and the things that I wanted out of a career. I can say that now because hindsight is always 20/20. But at the time, what I knew was some of those things that would really matter to me out of a career weren't necessarily present for me if I were to pursue medicine. So I decided to stick with the program because I really enjoyed the courses. It's still a subject that I'm passionate about and I wanted to see it through. So I kept going and I figured, you know, I'd find some other pathway, either in environment and health or potentially open to something else that would still help me to tap into some of the values that I'm looking for out of a career. And so in my third year of undergrad, I had to take some course that was not a physics, a biology, a chemistry course. And I decided to take a course on policy, and more specifically, environmental policy and regulation. And I loved that course. It was my first non-science related course, if you will. Like, yes, it was still science related because these regulations and the legislation are somewhat impacted by the actual science. However, the focus was on how to interpret the legislation, how to apply it, and what it would mean if I were to become, for example, an environmental assessor, or I worked as an analyst, like, how would this impact the work that I do? And that's what really sort of piqued my interest, because it was a practical application, a very real and practical application with real consequences to something that had rules, had standards that everybody was expected to abide by. And so it just kind of got me thinking, like, what can I do with this? What else is out there that looks like this? And I spoke with the professor. I really admired her. She, and still do, but she, you know, was really open to having the conversation with me, and her work focused on environmental health, and her focus was on water quality. And so she works closely with a number of environmental lawyers. So she put me in touch with some of them. And I'm also very fortunate that even though I don't come from lawyer, like I don't have lawyers in my family, I have family members that are quite resourceful. And so my older sister works in public health, and she put me in touch with a couple of the in-house lawyers that she's done some work with. She works on the policy side, so she's had a lot of consultation with some of them, put me in touch with one or two who actually happen to do a lot of environmental work as well. And I had multiple conversations with them. You know, got the courage to make some cold calls myself, did a few Google searches to find others who were practicing, and just read their bios. If it looked interesting, if it looked like they didn't take the quote unquote traditional path into law school, you know, I'd have conversations with them to find out about their experience more so in practice. And two things became clear to me. One was all of them, while they were working in different areas, were after the same thing that I was looking for in a career, which was being able to ask lots of questions. You're encouraged to be curious. You're really, your curiosity is rewarded because there's work and there's an opportunity to do the research, and you're able to make meaningful, practical change, even though you're working with something that to anybody outside of that profession is probably a little bit more abstract. And then the second thing that sold me on it was the fact that all of them said this in one way or another, it never hurts to have a law degree, and it changes the way you think. And sure enough, I can actually demarcate the line from how I thought of things and my approach to problem solving before law school versus after law school. And so they were right. And, you know, hearing the same thing consistently really made me pause and reflect on what I wanted to do after undergrad. So I decided I was going to write the LSAT. I decided to take a couple of years to prep for that. I wrote it the first time, didn't get the greatest score, learned, pivoted in terms of how I studied, got a better score the second time around, got a few offers and chose Windsor, and specifically chose the dual JD program because a couple of things. One, going back to high school, I studied in the IB program, got the IB diploma. So there's always been a little bit of an international element. And for myself as well, being born in Canada, but the children of two Ghanaian West African immigrants, there's a lot of ties to back home, which is also part of what sort of motivated me to study earth and environmental science in undergrad. And so there's always been a bit of an international element for me. And there's a benefit to thinking in more than just one sort of main societal cultural framework. And so I wanted that to shape my law career as well. And so I did the dual JD program at Windsor and Detroit Mercy. It was a very intense 3 years, but honestly, a lot of fun. I learned so much. And, you know, going into law school, the one piece of advice that I was given by every lawyer I spoke with was go in with an open mind. You know, don't marry yourself to one specific area of law or to one pathway, because there are many ways to get to whatever vision you have for your life and for your career if you decide to become a lawyer, if you choose to stay in the profession, and also to be flexible in terms of life changes and what those may bring in terms of how you shift your priorities. And all of that has ended up being true for me. So that's getting to law school. And so finishing with law school, I made the decision, whether it was foolish or wise. I think it was wise personally, knowing myself and knowing the energy levels I had at the end of articling. I made the decision to write both the Ontario and the New York bar exam in the same summer, which meant a little bit more planning. It meant studying for the New York bar a little bit earlier. I started in my last semester of 3L, really came back from Christmas holidays, Happy New Year, hit the books, right? And then switched over to the Ontario bar. I think it was in late March, still studying for New York, but less time spent there. And we can talk about that later if that's on the docket. But did that for a little bit, studied for both bar exams, wrote them, and then started articling. I summered, articled, and started out my career at a Bay Street firm, which was a fun experience, an interesting experience for sure. And I mean, again, coming from a family that I was the sort of first lawyer, first generation lawyer. I don't know what the correct term is, but it was a lot. It really opened my eyes in a good way, but also in a not so good way in terms of kind of getting to know myself in terms of what worked for me, in terms of habits, in terms of what I wanted out of my career, practice areas I liked, I didn't like so much, work environments. They don't teach you any of this stuff in law school. So a lot of it is sort of learning for yourself and learning who you are in the process. So started out again at the firm, and then I moved in-house to my first role at Forrester's about a year and a half after being an associate at Bay Street firm. And from there, I was in-house at Forrester's for about a year and a half, and then moved over to where I am now, Moneris, and in an industry that I'm really interested in, passionate about: payments, e-commerce, fintech, working with a slightly larger legal team. We service all of Canada. That's really where I'm at today. 5 years, 10 years from now, who knows? But given the things that I value, the things that I've been looking for, the things that I want out of my career, till date, I think I've checked off most of those boxes. So
yeah, that's amazing. And I think it's so interesting the way that you have like a very, I don't know, like scientific methodology to kind of how you've assessed each part of your career, and just taking us through that was so helpful because you did so much more back research and exploration before deciding law school was right for you. And I think myself included would have been wise to do a little bit more of that before signing on the dotted line and, you know, taking on all of the debt and labor that is law school. So I think that that is so neat that you, you know, even though you didn't come from a family of lawyers or, you know, like a household that really had this ingrained, you took the time and carved it out for yourself. And like you said, your sister was really resourceful. You found inlets. I'm terrible at like sayings. I don't know what the word is for, you know, finding ways to, I think it's like inwards. Anyways, regardless, you found a way to make the opportunity for yourself and to find out more, and all while doing it in sort of like a scientific methodology, like really taking a close look at how you wanted your career to be, which was so interesting. And also, I just wanted to touch on something you said way earlier, which is I love that you said science was creative and flexible. And it was just like, that is not my, that we were in the different science classes. I was just like, what? I can't say the same. Can't say that I'm a huge lover of science. I am definitely the stereotype. But thank you so much for sharing all of that. And there's so many points that we want to drill down from your career and the different paths that you've taken so far. But did you know when you started law school, was there like any inkling in your mind that you would have wanted to go in-house? I know that you said other lawyers said to keep your, you know, mind open and open to possibilities, but did you ever consider in-house as a possibility in law school, and did you work towards it, or was it more of like a happenstance?
So I'd say it's a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B. So I went in to law school knowing that there sometimes at corporations is a legal department. I worked in corporate for a few years before going to law school. So we didn't have a legal department at my company, but we did a lot of work with external lawyers. And so was it something that I went in sort of knowing I wanted to do? Not necessarily. I did know I didn't want the path to partnership. I knew for sure that I wouldn't want to be at a firm forever, just because I had that corporate background. And I knew that if I was at a firm forever, I'd become very much of an expert in one area, which is fine for some. But I need the variety. I need, you know, the change in pace. I need different and new problems. And again, having worked in corporate, I was familiar with all of that. And it's a different type of work environment. And actually, a lot of that became confirmed for me once I started working at the firm in terms of the dynamic. You're working in an office that is full of lawyers. So everybody, for the most part, thinks the same way or takes a similar approach to problems. It's different with a business. Yes, you're a lawyer, but you're also seen as an advisor to the business. So you're advising on the risk. However, you have to keep in mind that these are risk takers. So it's a little bit of a different environment. You get to actually distill the legal advice that you give and make it very practical and provide very practical solutions. Versus being in a firm where when I did work with our external clients, and this was my biggest frustration, I'd be asked a very specific hypothetical question. I'd provide an answer. More often than not, it was in the abstract. You try to distill it, make it as applicable based on the fact pattern that you're presented by the client. but then you send it off into the ether and you never hear from them again. You don't know how your advice was applied or if it was even taken. You don't know what the outcome is or the end result. And that became frustrating for me because when I thought of providing that practical advice, which was something I wanted out of a legal career, it was to see it all the way through to the finish line. And that's not something that you do when you're in private practice necessarily. Yes, you're a trusted advisor, but your client also has a budget. And so when you're in-house, you're often running the file. You're seeking advice from external counsel, but you tend to keep everything in-house. And you're the one who's providing the advice. You're the interpreter. You're taking what's being said, and it's not necessarily applied as gospel to the business, but you're taking what makes the most sense. You're constantly assessing and reassessing risk, and you're making everything possibly known to the business while empowering them to take the decisions that they want. So, no, this is all stuff I learned along the way, by the way, once I moved in-house. But to answer the question, no, I didn't always know. I did attend a panel in 3L. And for anybody listening, if your school has a panel on the in-house experience, I strongly encourage you to attend. I did in 3L and heard from a lot of really amazing people who were Windsor Law grads and were, you know, climbing the ranks in the various organizations they were working with. And while it wasn't at the forefront at the time, at least going into that meeting, when I left the presentation, it was on like a sort of a short list of potential things to do after leaving the firm. But like in terms of what that sort of mapped out plan would look like, it could have been in-house. It could have been something that, you know, was more of a policy role. Like it wasn't set in stone for me, but I picked up a lot from listening to that presentation that made me realize, you know, actually a lot more of the values that I'm looking for in a legal career. And this is after having summered at a firm. There's a good chance I can see a lot of those things being gleaned from an in-house experience.
That's amazing. And it's so interesting. A common thread of this in-house series that I'm really finding to be, and Aaron, I don't know if you'd agree with me, but I'm really finding it to be like the thesis of a lot of these episodes, is that there's really so much business acumen that's necessary when you go in-house. You are that trusted advisor. You are in the business. You are learning the business. You are the business. You know, like really depends on which department you're in. But it was so interesting to hear you explain that in such a really like distilled format. So thank you so much for walking us through that, because I think, you know, for people who haven't practiced in-house, who might be curious or want to learn more, knowing that they have to know the business and all of these sort of facets of that is so crucial. So Vivian, I was wondering if you had any advice for someone who might be looking to go in-house really early in their legal career, because exactly, sorry, just remind me, how long were you practicing in private practice? I know you articled at the firm, and then how long were you an associate?
A year and a half.
Okay. And so, yeah, so a year and a half, you know, into being an associate, you went in-house, which is amazing. But what advice would you give to someone sort of now, like knowing what you know now, looking back on your career, is there anything that you wish you had known or anything you've learned along the way that you'd like to share?
So the first thing is I don't think it's ever too early. If it feels like it's the right opportunity and you have taken the time to reflect on what it is you want out of your career in terms of the work-life balance or compromise, however you want to term it. I know it's different for different people, but you know, the kind of lifestyle you want, the kind of value you want to bring to your client. I don't think it's ever too early. I think it's important to just do it if it's the right thing for you to do. I know that I spoke with some more senior associates who advised me, you know, maybe give it a little bit of time before you make the move, but why not if it's the right opportunity? And don't be afraid to ask questions. If, you know, for those listening, if you are interested or you're curious to learn more, send an email to somebody who's in an in-house role that you're interested in. And there are so many different industries. And I think that's what makes it the most fun is, you know, you're bringing your skill set, your toolbox as a lawyer, your ability to review contracts, negotiate them, your ability to assess risk and liability, your communication skills, you're bringing all of those, and they can be applicable in different industries. But if there's an industry you're passionate about, chances are there's a role for you somewhere. So find the people who are in that industry, talk to them, talk to lawyers who are working in that industry. But I don't think that I don't think it's ever too early to move in-house. I have friends who went in-house straight from law school, and they're doing just fine, right? So as I'm sure we've all learned, a lot of the job is learned on the job, right? There isn't too much that law school can teach you to prepare you for an in-house role or a private practice role. We're taught the same set of skills, problem solving, issue spotting, working with large volumes of material and being able to distill that, and the fundamentals of the law. And so it's never too early. You've got to be willing and eager to learn and put in the work. But I think if it's something someone wants to do, do the research, but you can do it.
Yeah. And as you said, using your toolbox as a lawyer, we know that you also use that toolbox for good in other ways. So could you tell us a bit more about how your volunteer experience with Downsview Community Legal Services and Women's Health and Women's Hands has evolved?
Sure. So with the Downsview Community Legal Aid Clinic or Legal Aid Services, I sit on the board. There's 12 members of the, actually 13 now, of the board. And we are more of an operations board, but we do, like, there are, I think, three lawyers. So we'll provide, you know, legal advice as required. We'll review some of the agreements. If it's time for contract negotiations, particularly with accountants, sometimes we'll bring accountants in, or they'll need to, you know, have other services for available for the clinic. So I typically will take it upon myself to review, make sure the terms are something that the clinic is okay with. But as a board, it's a really fulfilling experience because I'm here to support other lawyers and legal aid clinic staff primarily, but in supporting them, I'm supporting my community, because as we know, like, legal aid clinics are so, so important. And being on the board, I'm seeing more of the political side of it. And, you know, as we know, budgets are announced every year. And when you're sitting on the board, your fingers are crossed that you're not going to see more slashes to the legal aid budget, because that impacts the services that, you know, the staff can provide, which impacts the services that are available to the community. And it's a really, honestly, it's one of the best things I think I've ever done. I joined the board in 2018. So after I had been called and I started working, I knew that, you know, sure, I didn't have enough time as a junior associate, like, you're still sort of getting into the files, getting into things at work. But I knew I wanted to give back, and I wanted to be able to, like, the opportunity just sort of presented itself. And I know for some pro bono looks a little bit different, but this was for me a way that I could give back meaningfully and within the community that I live in. And so I also learned through working with Downsview that it's more than just a legal aid clinic. Like, I never got to do the legal aid clinic experience at Windsor because of conflicts with, like, scheduling and whatnot. So to see that, like, the social workers are employed at the legal aid clinic and they're working with the lawyers to help, you know, clean out the homes of tenants who were brought before the landlord-tenant board for, like, hoarding issues and things like dealing with mental health issues, dealing with you know, other sort of socioeconomic stressors on top of the actual legal issue is something that, I don't know, just kind of opened my eyes to, like, the power of what we can do in our profession. and what, I guess, just how important it is for us to have these kind of services available. And for Women's Health and Women's Hands, that's a clinic located in Toronto. They started this mentorship program for young Black women, I believe between the ages of 15 and 25. And so they're mentored by Black women who are in just different professions. So there are a couple of lawyers, you know, there have been a number of like social workers, those in medicine, really just any and every profession. If you are a Black woman or femme, and you know, you want to give back to Black women, young Black women who are coming up in the in whatever profession you're in, or you at least want to help guide them to make the best choices for themselves, this was a mentorship group that I've been a part of for about 3 years now. 3 or 4 years. And so every year I'm paired with a different young woman who's interested either in going to law school or is considering it or just wants general mentorship. So I sort of make myself available for both. And we walk alongside each other for a year. You know, you take them to whatever events they're interested in going to. Or you send them things, hey, I saw the scholarship. So the girl that I was working with this past year is applying for law school, but comes from a very similar sort of background in terms of not having family who practices in law. Actually, she grew up in my old neighborhood, so I know the neighborhood. And you know, single mom, she's working like two jobs while in undergrad. So things are already financially a little bit stressful. But I had a friend who went to Windsor, is part of an organization that started a scholarship for Black students interested in going to law school. I got the information, sent it to her, apply for this, apply for it, apply for it. She wasn't sure if she would qualify. So even something as simple as encouraging her through the application process, like you may not think you have the requisite grades, you may not think you have the skills or the story that you think they're looking for, but just tell your story. And I'm here to help, here to mentor, here to review your application. And she ended up getting the scholarship. So I was really happy for her. But yeah, so that's the kind of work that I do with Women's Health and Women's Hands. It's as simple as, you know, encouraging them or gently pushing them to do the thing that they're a little bit afraid to do. Or it's reviewing an application or connecting them with a colleague who is in an area of law or just a different industry that they may be interested in.
That's amazing. Vivian, are you speaking about the Avenue Black Undergraduate Law Internship Program through the OBA?
No, this is the J.B. Bridges Scholarship.
Oh, yeah, I'm familiar with the J.D. Bridges Scholarship. Okay, because there's also Avenue through the Ontario Bar Association, which is for Black undergraduate law students who may or may not have yet been accepted to law school, but who have not yet started law school. And that's also a really neat scholarship program. And it's a work placement. It's a professional work placement. So 12 or more weeks, you get to work like at a firm. So really, really neat, worth sharing with someone in the future.
Yes. Thank you.
We'll put it in the episode notes. So anyone who's curious to know what we're talking about can grab that link. But Vivian, you know, you're talking about working in communities that are meaningful to you and working, you know, to support these important organizations and committees and boards. And we were curious if you could tell us one thing. I know it's such a big question, but just one thing that you feel really needs to change or evolve in the legal profession to move things forward in a good way.
If there's one area within the profession that I think we should really try to improve upon, it's our understanding of and the way we practice diversity, equity, and inclusion. I think that diversity of thought is important. Diversity of gender, of race, etc., is important. I think we're starting to move into a better understanding of mental health, the importance of mental health and wellness generally, but I'm not quite sure if and how, as a profession, we can sort of bring it all together in a meaningful, sustainable way. Like, it depends on the individual, right? Like, some people work better in certain environments, under certain pressures, that sort of thing. However, it's not a one-size-fits-all. And I think that's really where we're not having enough of a conversation. I think a lot of it is like sort of throwing, hey, like, anti-Black racism is important, and here's why. You know, mental health is important, and here's why. Wellness is important, and here's why. But it's going to look different for different people. And there's like a wide range of potential outcomes for any one person. So I don't know if it's about having conversations about that and what it means and what it looks like, and whether there even is flexibility or room for those conversations and those accommodations, because people will need to be accommodated. But I think that's the biggest thing. I feel like there's a lot of like pockets and bursts when it comes to those conversations, but it's not cohesive, and it hasn't really come together in a way where we can say that, yes, as a profession, all of these things matter to us, but we also understand that as a profession, we are not a monolith, and that we have people with different abilities and different walks of life and different experiences that are all part of the profession, all part of that diversity, equity, and inclusion piece. And we need to be understanding and accommodating of all of those.
Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us, Vivian, and for joining us on the podcast today. We so enjoyed it. We love to finish every episode with the same question, which is, what is something new that you've learned recently?
Ooh, so one thing that I learned recently is that April, as in today, earlier today, is that April is African American Women's Fitness or Wellness Month, which is something new to me, because like I enjoy being active. It's for myself, it's a mental health sort of coping or like a stress relief for myself. And so to learn that this is the theme of the month, or is a theme of the month, was pretty cool. And so I'm going to do a little bit more research into what that means, and if there are activities like in the city that I can participate in on that. So yeah.
That's so neat. And it's always cool when you find out things like that, and then you can figure out how you can participate and how you can get involved and how you can also amplify that so that more people learn about it. Vivian, this has been so exciting. It has been so cool to just be like a little bit of a fan from afar, and now to get to have you on the podcast. We cannot wait to see how your career continues to evolve. Thank you so much for sharing all of your incredible perspectives about the legal profession and beyond, and working in-house with us on this series. We are so grateful you could join us, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. It was lovely meeting both of you. And hopefully this will not be the last time we interact.
Thank you again to our partner, Lawyers in House, a law firm composed of former in-house counsel. To learn more, visit lawyersinhouse.com to see how they can provide insightful, pragmatic, and solutions-focused legal services to you and your legal department.